Great. You know, when I was in the Air Force and sometimes I'd have to travel, one time I went to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. It is our pilgrim's guide in life's journey, and Lord, it is the manna that we live by. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today, in Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now these two verses here pretty much sum up every Christian's life. Because until you're born again and you know Jesus Christ, there is no internal war. You just do what feels good, right? But I've had people say, you know, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And I said, well, why do you say that? Well, I keep giving in to sin. I said, does it make you feel bad? Yeah. I said, then you're saved. Because unless it's a war, you're not saved. But once you're born again, you now have two natures. Amen. We have the spirit man and we have the flesh. And they're at war with one another. So you don't always do what you want to do. Sometimes the flesh wins out. But the verse 16 tells us what to do. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen? And that is really the call to every born-again believer, is to walk in the Spirit. It doesn't matter whether you're Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, Church of God, Foursquare, non-denominational. What matters is that you walk in the Spirit. Has nothing to do with tongues or jumping pews or any of that other stuff. It's walking in the unction and the anointing and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus called the Comforter. Amen? You know, walking in the Spirit is the answer to a happy life. Amen? When I walk in the Spirit, I have joy and peace, and I don't get all wigged out about stuff because I'm walking in the Spirit. Getting ahead of myself here. So we're going to look at five characteristics of walking or having a spirit-led life. Amen? I mean, you know, that should be every Christian's goal, to have a spirit-led life. Amen? So number one, a spirit-led life is sustained by the Word of God. You cannot walk in the Spirit if you do not read your Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God that feeds the spirit man. Amen? The old adage, you know, of which one wins? The one you feed, right? If you feed the flesh wins. If you feed the spirit man wins. And so the first and most important thing of a spirit-led life is that it is sustained by the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and he humbled you and suffered you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. And of course, this passage from Deuteronomy is what Jesus quoted when he was tempted in the wilderness. We know that all sin falls into three categories, according to 1 John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when Eve saw the fruit, she saw that it was pleasing to the eyes, that it was good for food, and was to make one wise. And so she got hit with all three. Well, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he got hit with all three, and he defeated the devil with the Word of God. And so the Word of God, we cannot live without the Word of God. The Word of God is paramount for a Spirit-led life, we need to be the Word of God. Amen. We need to be super saturated with the Word of God. You know what super saturated is? When my kids were at home and they would do dishes, and after they got done, they would leave the sponge up here and not wring it out. And you go to grab the sponge and you just barely touch it and it's oozing water. Dirty dish water. Oozing. It's super saturated. And you're like, why don't you guys wring this thing out, right? Now, if my life is super saturated with the Word of God and you touch me, the Word of God comes out. Amen? If you start poking me and I'm in the flesh, something else may come out. Anger, or I might snap at you. Be honest. How many of you ever snapped at someone when they poked you? Maybe they poked you with their finger. Maybe they poked you with some statement. But that's why walking in the Spirit is so important. Because a Spirit-led life doesn't snap, the Word comes out. Amen. Wouldn't that be beautiful if we were all that kind of Christian? You know what? That's God's highest call for us, to be Spirit-led, so that the Word of God comes out every single time, super saturated with the Word. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, filled with the Word of God. The psalmist said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season, his leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does, I mean, you like that part, prosper, right? Amen? So the Word of God is absolutely necessary for a Spirit-led life. Now, we're going to parallel these 5 points with the life of Abraham. What happened in Abraham's life? He's just a normal guy like you and me, and God picks him. And God says, hey, old man, I'm going to give you a son when you're even older than you are now, and he's going to be the father of a nation. Now, what just happened? The Word of God came to this man, and he believed it. Amen? And so, in order to have a Spirit-led life, I have to first receive the Word of God. You know, some people read the Bible and they say, this is a book written by men. Some people read the Bible and say, this has a lot of history in it. But as a Christian, we should read the Bible and say, hey, God is speaking to me right here. Amen? And so you don't have to have a God Abraham experience. You just got to understand that this Word is written to me personally, to you personally. And when you do that, then you are sustained by the Word. And that is the first step to living a spiritual life, is being sustained by the Word. What sustains you? And when we say something sustains me, is like, I had a big healthy breakfast this morning, right? I ate my Wheaties. This morning in our new house, I told Carolyn, I said, come and sit at the bar with me while I have my coffee. She got the new kitchen all cleaned and everything finally put away about midnight last night. And we sit there. She says, are you going to have breakfast? I don't have time. So much for my healthy breakfast, right? Donuts. But I sit there and drank coffee, and we admired our new kitchen. But food sustains us physically. The Word of God sustains us spiritually, and it is the first step in a Spirit-led life. Number two. It is secured through faith. As I said, you can't just read the Word. You have to believe the Word. I had someone say to me one time when I quoted the Word, do you really believe that? Well, yeah. It boggles my mind that people don't believe it. But maybe I just hang around all you godly people all the time. But you know what? I believe it. I believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God. Back in 2006, I know many of you heard this story before, but it's worth repeating even if someone hadn't, because it was a glorious experience for me. When my first wife left me and began to run around and all these horrible things, and I'm not here to bash her before she, and then she died. And I was probably as low as I could be as a Christian. and I was under demonic attack. And the devil was saying to me, "Where's God at now, preacher?" You know, those voices that are just hammering you. "I thought you were a man of faith. Why aren't you praying? Why aren't you believing things are going to change? Why are you so down now? Where's your faith at now?" And I was being so bombarded by hell that I literally did not know how to pray. And I got down by my bed, and all I could say is, "God, I believe. I believe. I believe." What was I saying I believe to? I believe in a God that's good when nothing looks good. I believe in a God that answers when I don't hear an answer. I believe in a God that's for me when it looks like all hell is coming against me. And all I could pray is, "I believe, I believe." And in a moment's time, the greatest miracle that I've ever felt in my entire life happened. It was as if the Lord came in that room and touched me, and I had all the fear and all the anxiety and all the turmoil literally just sucked out of me. And I literally, and I'm not lying, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not adding something to this to make the sermon sound, I literally felt like I was floating above the ground. That's what I felt. And it lasted about 2 hours. Now, I'm bragging on God, not on me. Because it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, you have to believe. Amen? The secret to a spirit-led life is secured through faith. And even if God doesn't make sense, even if everything around you is falling apart, you have to believe in a God that's good. Amen? Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." Aren't you glad I'm saved? I'm saved this morning. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you pass from death to life and you don't come under condemnation. You say, "Well, I sinned last night and I feel terrible." There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the life of Christ in the Spirit of Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Now, Abraham, again, we're going back parallel in these 5 points with the life of Abraham. God promised him a son, and Abraham believed God. Now, that sounds so overly simple. But let someone promise you something and then wait 40 years before they give it to you. You know, it's easy to say last week, "Well, you know, God told me this." And then, you know, I can wait a week. I may be able to wait a month. I may be able to wait 6 months. But 40 years? Come on, guys. How long are you willing to wait before you give up on God? I'll tell you what, He won't give up on you. Amen. And so, this Spirit-led life is sustained by the Word of God. It is secured through faith. Abraham believed God. No matter how impossible it may seem, God can do it. It's not over till it's over. Amen? You know, when you read the heroes of faith, it says that, you know, that many of them believe this and this, and then it says some of them died never receiving. You say, "Well, what about those guys?" I'm here to tell you, the God of miracles can do anything. Amen? I don't fully understand how God makes a promise and then you see someone die. You know, there's always that little old lady that, "God, you promised me I'd see my kid saved before I die." And then she dies. You say, "Well, you know, maybe God showed him after she got to heaven. Look, week from Tuesday, you get to see it." You know, see, death is not the end for us, is it? I mean, you know what? Jesus said, "Kill me, and I'll raise this temple in 3 days." With God, death is not the end. Amen. With Jesus, you know, Mary was like, "Oh yeah, I know. He'll raise at the resurrection." Woman, I am the resurrection. When you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at life. Amen. When Jesus lives on the inside, we don't die; we graduate. If the Lord tarries, and someone says, "Hey, did you hear Roger Jones died?" You better correct him. You better say, "No. I heard him in a sermon say," when you hear that, say, "He didn't die. He just moved to a bigger house." Glory to God. Amen. Amen. That's it. That's it. So, Abraham believed God. And it doesn't matter how impossible it is. Number three. Number one, sustained by the Word of God. Number two, secured through faith. Number three, necessary for the death of sin. In order to have victory over sin, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. It is necessary to bring death to sin. 2 Corinthians 4:11, For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, I can't experience spiritual life until I crucify the flesh, right? I have to nail it to the cross. I have to nail myself to the cross. I have to die daily, Paul said. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And so, in order to really live the Spirit-led life, I have to die to self. Die to self. Self and Spirit-led lives do not go together. Amen? Peanut butter and jelly, they go together. Spirit-led life and selfishness doesn't go together. Self is flesh. Self says, what about me? What about me? You ever heard Joyce Meyer do that? What about me? What about me? What about me? And that's really it. And, you know, there's a lot of self-centered people, Christians in churches, and they wonder why they live a defeated life, because you cannot be what about me and be Spirit-led. That's a good place for an amen, somebody. You can't. You cannot be what about me and be Spirit-led. Because the flesh wars against the Spirit, and me is all about me. Me is flesh. Amen? So you have to crucify. Now, Abraham's promised a son. Abraham believed God. The day finally came. You know, this is the crazy thing about the life in the Spirit, is when you think you've arrived, you haven't arrived. You won't arrive until you cross that icy cold river of death and you land in heaven. Amen? Until then, you still got a target on your head of the devil, and God is still trying to teach you things. You will never stop learning as a child of God. You will never stop growing. If you are sincere about growing spiritually, you'll never stop growing as a child of God. You will never arrive until you get to heaven. And so God told Abraham, you're going to have a son, and Abraham heard the word of God, the word. He believed the word, faith, and then he had to crucify the very thing that God gave him. He said, take your son, your only son whom you love, up to this mountain that I'm going to show you and offer him there. Now, he didn't literally do it, although he was going to, but in his heart, he had already crucified him. In fact, it's a beautiful picture of the cross, because it was on Mount Moriah where Jesus was crucified, and he told him 3 days before. So in his heart, Isaac's already dead for 3 days, and then it's as if he was resurrected. Isn't that cool? But the idea is that there is nothing, not my children, Bobby and Nicole, dedicated little Ellie to the Lord. What were they saying? She's not mine, she's yours, Lord. You can do whatever you want to with her. That's a scary thought. Newborn baby? No, Lord, you can't have my baby. You cannot keep anything back from God. The only thing God will ask you to give up is the thing you don't want to give up. Rich young ruler comes to Jesus. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? You know the commandments. Honor your father and mother. Love the Lord your God. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I've done all those since I was a kid. Okay, one thing you lack. You got money. Go sell it all. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. Did Jesus need him to follow him that day? He wanted him to. Was there some poor person that needed that money? Maybe. It wasn't about any of that. It was about him letting go. It was him dying to the one thing. And it said he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. I mean, you can give and God will give it all back to you plus 100-fold. God doesn't want you to be poor and poverty to be spiritual. He wants you to live a crucified life and not hold anything back from him. Amen? And when you're willing to give it up, then that's all he cares about. So you have to crucify it. Necessary for the death of sin. Number four. Jesus is the supreme object. We're talking about a Spirit-led life. A Spirit-led life is sustained by the Word. It's secured through faith. It's necessary for the death of sin. And number four, Jesus is the supreme object. It's good to invite people to church, but church didn't save me. Jesus saved me. Amen. Back when I was a young man in the Air Force after I first got saved, 1979, they had I had my second stripe in the Air Force, and you get your third stripe so many months after the second. It's all pretty much automatic. You don't mess up. You just do your job, show up on time for work and everything. But they had this thing called Senior Airman Below the Zone where you could get your third stripe early. And in order to do that, you went before boards, and your uniform had to be spotless, and you answered questions like, who was the only five-star general of the Air Force? Hap Arnold. That's the only one I ever still remember. And you had to answer all these military questions. And so so they had a practice board, and they elected within our squadron, Air Force Global Weather Central, they elected like four or eight, I don't remember, airmen, young men, young women, to go up for this board, and then they would select two from our squadron to compete at the base level against all these other airmen, and they would pick about a dozen out of hundreds to get your stripe early. And they had me come into the practice board so they could critique me before the actual board that they would pick one. And I went in and I did my facey movements, and they asked me to sit down, and I answered the questions, and then you had a chance to say something about yourself. Now, man, when I got saved, I got saved, brother. I had a praying grandma. I was on fire. I was consuming the Bible. In fact, one of my coworkers, Vince Shuler, used to go, "Rock, the Bible says," make fun of me because I was a parrot. I hadn't been saved 3 months, and I was quoting the Word like the Son of God, man. I was going after it. So, went in this practice board, said all that, and then they asked me to say something about you. I said, "Well, I'm a born-again Christian. I believe Jesus Christ is the only way, and I think sin is a reproach to any people. And Reaganomics," that's how long ago this was, "Reaganomics is not going to help America. We need a revival. We need people coming back to Jesus." Saluted, walked out. That was the practice board. They called me back in to critique me. "This question you missed, blah, 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 and you know, and your uniform looks good. And, oh, by the way, it's okay to talk about your church. It's good that you're involved in the community, but sin and Jesus, you probably ought not to." I said, "Well, the church didn't save me." Hallelujah. Jesus is the supreme object. He said, "You'll be brought before governors and magistrates for my name's sake. Take no thought for what you will say, for God, the Holy Spirit, will give you the words." So I just kind of figured, okay, you know, I'm living a crucified life. God's going to supply. They don't want to. So lo and behold, they picked me. But they said, you know, don't. Okay, well, so let me back up. That was the review, right? It was a practice board. So they told me not to say that, and then they had the real board. Went in, did my facey movement, said all that. And then Reaganomics won't do it. Jesus is the way. Saluted, walked out. A little bit later, Master Sergeant Freeman saw me in the hallway as I'm walking back to my office. "Emma Jones, we told you not to hit it." And again, I wasn't even thinking about what to say. It was just so much of the Word. And you know what I said? I said what Peter said before the Sanhedrin. I said, "Sergeant Freeman, how can I but speak the things that I have seen and heard?" Walked off. They selected me. I went to the base board. I didn't get to say my thing there. You just went in, answered two questions, and went out. And I got my third stripe. The fear of man is a snare. I always want to be on God's side, don't you? He's got it all together. Jesus is the supreme object. Church can't save you. You can go to church and go to hell. I mean, there are people in church that are going to go to hell because they've missed the whole point. Sustained by the Word, secured through faith, necessary to crucify your flesh, your sin, and remember that Jesus is the supreme object of my faith. It's about relationship. Back to Abraham. God tells Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he have to tell him? Did Abraham have to tell Lot, his nephew, to get out of there? No, they sent angels to get them. Why did he tell Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah? The word says, shall I keep anything from Abraham, seeing that he is my friend? I am a friend of God, right? It's about relationship. That's why Jesus came. He put a face on a God that had no face. He came to have relationship. God created Adam in the garden to have relationship. And up to that point, there was no relationship. It was just this thundery fire on a mountain until the new covenant come through the blood of Christ. We now have relationship with God. We are friends with God. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Amen. And Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. To live is Christ. Jesus is everything. And finally, number five, the Spirit-led life is demonstrated by love. 1 John 3:14, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brothers abides in death. And what did Abraham do when he and his nephew Lot had a conflict? He said, Lot, you want this land? I'll take this over here. You want this over here? I'll go this way. You know, love gives, doesn't it? Love doesn't take. Love gets. God so loved he what? Gave, right? You can always see, you know, it's one thing to say you love someone, but we demonstrate it by how we give. We give our time. Some people say love is spelled T-I-M-E, right? You know, oh, I'd love to talk to you, man. I love you, but I ain't got time right now. Say you love me, ain't got time to talk to me. Amen? Love is giving. And Abraham gave Lot the best land. And the verse for this, we're going to just hit on some points from 1 Corinthians 13. We all know that's the love chapter, right? Remember, we're talking about a Spirit-led life. And really, number five, demonstrated by love, this is like the thermostat. You know, thermostat on your house, you set it. If it's working properly, you set it to 70, gets down to 70. You set it to 90, gets up to 90, right? And so the thermostat for my Spirit-led life is my love. And so I know whether I'm cool or hot, whether I'm on target or off, by looking at my love level to know if I am walking a Spirit-led life. It says love suffers long, right? Means somebody's done this to me 15 times. That's it. I'm writing them off, right? Well, we need to have healthy boundaries, but love suffers long. Love is kind. Love is kind. I have been guilty of being kind of cantankerous to waitresses when they mess up my order. And the Lord convicted me of that. He said, love is kind. You're right, Lord. See, I'm as spiritual as my love level. And I'm not talking about how I act around you guys or how you act around me. It's out there. It's walking in the Spirit out there, right? The day-to-day life. Love isn't envious. You know, you hear someone won the lottery and you bought a ticket. I wish it had been me. Christians should say, praise the Lord. Maybe they needed it more than me. You're not envious. Well, look at that car he got. He doesn't need that car. Right? Love doesn't brag about themselves. I think we can kind of just take that one for us. Love is not puffed up. Puffed up is pride. Puffed up. I asked the Lord, I'm still debating whether I should say this or not. Yeah, why not? there was a lady visiting the church for a while, and she was really puffed up. She operated in the gifts. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make fun of Spirit-led gifts. They are gifts. They're important. But when people got to tell you that they operate in them, you know what I'm saying. I operate in this gift and operate in that gift. And, oh, I saw this woman talked all the time. And she said, the Spirit showed me that woman had a problem with gossip. I saw lips all over her face. I'm thinking, well, look in the mirror, lady. I'm sorry, I know. I'm just being real with you guys, right? You know, you see this stuff. And so, one day the Lord told me to tell her to correct something. I'm not going to go into details. Just to say, I'd rather you not do it this way. I'd rather you do it that way. It wasn't even really correction. It was just, as a pastor, I should be able to say, I prefer it this way, right? It wasn't even a big deal. But I knew in my spirit, because of her pride, she couldn't receive correction from a pastor. And within one service, she was gone. Now, am I wanting to run people off? We got a lot of empty chairs. I don't want to run people off. But you know what? We are Spirit-led, and we need to stay Spirit-led. And we cannot let pride come into our life, whether it's natural pride or spiritual pride. Amen? Either one of them will destroy you. You know? And so we have to have a correctable spirit. If you do not have a correctable spirit, you have pride. Right? In fact, Paul told Timothy that the prerequisites for a pastor is to have a teachable spirit. I can't have pride. I got to have a teachable spirit. If I do something wrong, or if you find that I did something wrong, I want you to come to me. And I mean, God had a lot of those things happen early in the ministry to whittle down my pride. I have all the chop marks to prove it. I used to think that the ministry was so important that everything had to be perfect. And then I realized, I'm not the pastor. Jesus is. I don't really have to make everything perfect. I've just got to love the Lord with all my heart and be Spirit-led, and God will take care of everything else. Amen? Love doesn't act up. You know, I mean, as adults, we don't normally act up. You think of kids acting up. Look at that kid. He's acting up. But there are, once in a while, there are people who act up. And we could just leave it at that. Love doesn't act up. Love does not demand their own way. Well, he gets to pass the offering plate. I want to, you know, just being silly this morning. Just bear with me here. This is really a big one here. Is not easily offended. This one really kind of goes with the brag or the puffed up. It's really a factor of pride. If you are easily offended by people, by things, you are not walking in the Spirit. Right? When I'm walking in the Spirit, things don't bug me. When I'm walking in the flesh, people irritate me. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not living. Your heart's not beating. You're comatose, or you're asleep. But for the rest of us that are honest, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we need to walk in the unction of the Holy Spirit. We need to abide in the presence of God. We need to be connected to the vine, or people are going to offend us. We are going to get our feelings hurt. All right? And so, again, this is the fifth point. Walking in the Spirit is demonstrated by love. Not easily offended. Doesn't think evil thoughts. Loves to see truth win out. And the last four things Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Bears all things. Grin and bear it. Just get through it. It's okay. Just get past it. Don't let it bug you. Don't let it offend you. They didn't mean to offend you. They're not trying to offend you. Sometimes I joke around a lot. I've offended people by my joking, and I hate that. But I was the class clown. Take it, you know, I'm the whole package. I'm a goofball sometimes, and I need to be careful how I jest too much. So bears all things means if someone offends you, hey, don't be offended, just bear it. They're human just like you. Amen? Believes all things. I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Do you really believe that? Of course I do. Hopes all things. When Deborah, my first wife, left me, and then later, shortly later, died, I was as low as I've ever been in my Christian walk. We had to close the church. We were south of town at the time. And I pretty much, I put a lot in storage, but I sold most of it. I kept this pulpit and the sound system. And people say, well, why are you keeping that? I said, I have hope. I didn't even have faith. My faith was so beat down. I had about that much hope. Maybe God will give me another chance down the road. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and the last one, endures. Come on up, Nola. Endures all things. What does endurance mean? T probably can tell you that. As an athlete, you know. You keep on keeping on when you're hurting. When you physically want to quit. In the spirit realm, it may be an emotional want to quit. But you keep on going. You have to endure. You can't quit. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to quit, not to lose heart, not to give up, not to throw in the towel. Amen. And so we need to be spiritually led. Number one, sustained by the word. Number two, secured through faith. Number three, necessary for the death of sin. Number four, Jesus, the supreme object. And then you demonstrate it by your love level. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We cannot do this without you. In a world gone mad, where political correctness causes people to be angry, be vehemently angry with others, where the left hates the right, where there's calls for murder and attempted murder, and we're on the brink of World War III, Lord, in a world gone mad, let people see what a Christian led by the Spirit looks like. A Christian led by the Holy Spirit. Someone who's patient and kind and not anxious. Someone who walks the love life and doesn't just talk it. Someone who is full, super saturated with the word and faith. Who's living the crucified life and in love with Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be spiritually led in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Nola.
Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down.
Yes.
Oh, comforter.
Worship the Lord for a minute before we go.
The Spirit rain down. Rain down. Let your Spirit fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit,
God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.